Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Dan Bach talks to the biggest personalities in DFS, delivers commentary on the industry's most important topics, and gives you the advice you need to help build winning lineups.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
You didn't really think we were going to get rid of that, did you?
Here's your host, the one and only Dan Bach.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome. Dan Bach here, Roto Grinders, Daily Fantasy Fix podcast for you here on this Monday, kicking off a new week and hopefully helping you lead to some profitability and saving you some time on some research. And always, big thanks going out to Fantasy Draft. If you want to pay it forward, you know how to do it. It's going over to Fantasy Draft, making that deposit using that promo code Grinders. And if you've already done that, you're playing over there, we'll play a little bit more. Support the sponsors is how we can offer things like this podcast absolutely for free. So I hope you check them out over there fantasydraft.com. Check them out. Today, mainly going to be baseball tonight. We've got one day basketball. And, you know, I'm okay on one day slates. It's not really my thing to be playing that much of. But for those of you who want to get the sweat on a day of basketball, you can play it. But apparently, the sites find that a lot of people like to play it. We got two $100,000 payouts in hoops tonight on one day basketball. Now, I got news for you. Probably going to have duplicate lineups. And here's the thing, and this is where, you know, I think FanDuel, DraftKings, if they're going to run these things, they need to be a little bit more creative in the makeup of the games themselves, because you're going to have just a massive number of ties in these things. And, you know, some people will say, Dan, you said the same thing for football, and we didn't necessarily have that for football and the Super Bowl, and they had $1 million first place payout. But a little bit different there with football, especially on DraftKings, is the fact that they included all those different defensive players. It allowed, you know, that builds in so much variance and so much ability for people to build different lineups that wasn't that big of a deal over there on DraftKings for the Super Bowl. But for basketball, the rotations are so small. You know, they're playing like, most teams are playing like 8-9 guys at the absolute most. And, you know, there's just a certain finite number of ways that you can build teams, and people are going to land on those things. And you're more than likely to not have outlier performances, which can help, you know, distinguish a singular lineup. You're not really going to have that much more in NBA. So what I would be doing, and FanDuel has that 1.5, MVP spot where they give you 1.5 points, which it's nice in theory, but I don't think it really works because everybody's just putting their number one guy in there. So like Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, you view him as the highest scoring player on the game tonight, you're probably going to put him in that spot over everybody else because it makes the most sense to do it. And sometimes you can like leverage the field in that, but not in the game of basketball, not so much in the playoffs where it's pretty obvious where things are going to go. And even if you say you're not going to play Giannis, there's only like two or three other guys you could conceivably even play that would make sense to do it. So what they should do in my eyes, if you're going to kind of keep these single game slates going, is I think they need to add more of those, kind of bonus, I don't say bonus points, but, you know, if you're going to go 1x, like what they need to do is in the two or in the three spots, they need to have more of those spots because that's where you can differentiate things, because the top players are going to be pretty obvious in terms of you're going to want to get that 1.5x. But when you've got like, and you still have to fill in a salary cap and you still have the ability to get extra points out of certain players, that is going to add an element of not just skill, but just the differentiating of the lineups, because you've got all these utility spots. It's like pretty obvious where everybody's going to go. So I hope like the game departments can look at it a little bit and try to come up with an idea that is maybe just, I don't say more complex because you don't want it too hard for your average user, but something that is going to keep us from having extreme duplicate lineups, especially if you want to run, you know, massive $300,000 tournaments with $100,000 up top. You just, the likelihood that somebody's going to walk away with that amount of money is not great. So that's my request to them. So we'll see if they listen. But obviously, there's big demand for it. I just think we can build a quote unquote better game. And that's something which I don't want to see tossed out of the window for the sake of running more slates. And, you know, potentially some people will say, well, Dan, we've already crossed that, you know, barrier, and that's fine, but let's at least do the best that we can with that. So we'll certainly see what happens. And I think there's a big discussion to be had on what will we see come football season with these standalone games, because, you know, as we've seen with Major League Baseball, and it's a little bit different with baseball and lineups and whatnot, but baseball, the Sunday night game is what, just showdown, right? There's no, you know, that's not involved in any sort of slate. So is the same going to apply for Sunday night football, for Monday night football, for Thursday night football? Are those games no longer going to even be included on a longer slate? Are they just going to be pushed across as single gamers? I think that's a topic we need to touch up on at some point in time. It doesn't need to be today, but that's something we need to talk about. All right, well, let's get to baseball tonight. Not a huge slate. I actually like this size of slate. It's pretty decent. And we're going to look at where we're going to go with starting pitching, hitting, and kind of give you a path, at least until, you know, to give you a glimpse of the way that I'm looking to kind of build my lineups here tonight. All right. Again, we've got that early 6:10 start or something here tonight. So that's clearly not something that we are particularly worried about. So let's kind of get into the starting pitchers today. It's interesting. I run a lot of different models here in the morning to kind of see what they're thinking. And obviously those will tinker and change throughout the day. And I'm a little surprised at how much John Lester love there has been so far. Now, his price on DraftKings is pretty moderate today, but pitching in Wrigley, and again, we're waiting on a game total. We're waiting on wind, which appears to be blowing out. I'm just not sold on it against this Rockies lineup that's really the way I want to go today. I feel like Arenado easily can send one or two out of the ballpark tonight. And yes, he's cheaper. He's not in that 10K range where you've got a lot of guys. But that was kind of the semi-surprise to me, was the number of models that had John Lester popping. I don't think that's the way I'm planning on going tonight. So in terms of like the top guys today, like all these guys over 10K, you got Arrieta, you got Greinke, you've got Charlie Morton today. I'm not really in love with any of these tonight. I think this is an evening to pay up for bats. I don't foresee me playing much of any of them. If I was going to rank them, it would probably be Morton, Arrieta, and Greinke in that order. But I honestly don't really think that's a path to winning here today, because I don't think there's enough upside in there. I think the tournaments today are going to be won with the bats, and I think some of these middle-tier guys can easily match what those guys are going to put up today. So I'm kind of off them today. I mean, Morton's a great pitcher. It's been phenomenal, but do you really want to face the Yankees here today? I mean, that team is just totally locked in right now at the plate, and I don't really want to mess with it. Arrieta against Miami, you know, that's somewhat desirable spot, but man, did they jack up the price. That, you know, if he was down in that 9K range, 8K range, I'd sign off on that, you know, immediately. But we've got Jake Arrieta as the most expensive pitcher on the slate today. Now, I'll be kind of curious to see what kind of strikeout props we kind of get in there. And if you look on DraftKings, if you look over on FanDuel, he's 8,800. You know, fantasy draft, he's way up there at 21.6. So you could probably make an argument that you could play him over there on FanDuel a little bit more over DraftKings. But even on this two-pitcher site, I don't really see him being a guy that I'm looking at. The names that pop in for me, and I think number one is Eduardo Rodriguez here against Kansas City. Super strong favorite today at -232. Explosive offense behind him. And bottom line is Kansas City just can't hit. And Eduardo Rodriguez, super comfortable with him, especially when we, you know, bring up the old plate IQ. And as I told you the other day, we got that conditional formatting on plate IQ, and it is just so tasty to look at, and tonight's no different. So Eduardo Rodriguez, going against this Kansas City team and versus lefties, they're just over. Since the beginning of last season, you've got an ISO of 111 and a weighted OBA of 286. So significantly worse versus lefties than they are righties. And, Whit Merrifield, is a guy who definitely pops against left-handed pitching. But outside of him, that's it. Like, there's not much here that I think is going to do a heck of a lot of damage. And he might end up being chalked tonight, but I think I'm probably going to eat him regardless of what that ownership number comes in at. So Eduardo Rodriguez at 7,600 over on DraftKings. He is 7,400 on FanDuel and 14,500 over on Fantasy Draft. So I like him in all formats today. And then the SP2 is a little bit more difficult. My initial feel was I'm going to go down to Jeff Samardzija as well for San Francisco going against San Diego. Another team that, played IQ definitely in his favor here when you look at the San Diego hitters. Against righties since the beginning of last season, 176 on that ISO, 315 on that WOBA. That is awful. So I think that there's some upside here, but the risk that you run is Samardzija just hasn't been very good. Now, since the beginning of last season, you've got an xFIP of 3.73. Like, that's pretty darn impressive. You also, in 2018, in two starts, has an xFIP of 6.43. And he's definitely, had some issues if you look at, his game logs here. And mainly came down to 7 walks in the 2 starts, especially Washington, that last start. He got dinged up pretty good. 8 hits in under 4 innings, gave up 6 earned runs. Now, that opening start versus the Angels, pretty impressive in that he went 5 innings, 2 hits, did have 4 Ks, and did have 4 walks. Now, he only pitched 80 pitches that day and finished at right around 20 fantasy points, did get you the win. You got to wonder, they got to be letting him go here a little bit. And I think that he definitely has mid-20s upside here against San Diego. San Diego's throwing that young lefty again here today. Giants a little bit better versus lefties than they are righties. So I'm going back to the well with Samardzija. I don't think he is a lock and load. I think Rodriguez is that guy. If you want to tinker with some other options in SP2, that's the guy I would take down. And the other guys I might tinker with, maybe a Jake Faria today against Detroit. I don't love it, but, again, in tournaments, it's kind of all or nothing anyway, and that's what his starts have been this season. He's, 4 earned runs in that last start versus Baltimore, pitched well versus Texas and Philly, got hit around a little bit and walked some people there against Boston that got him in some trouble. So at 7,200 on DraftKings, I don't hate it. Tyon against Washington, boy, he looked outstanding those first 2 starts. Certainly that first one, he was just, on it, complete game versus Cincinnati. But Detroit, Philadelphia, and Miami after that, certainly Detroit and Philadelphia, the last 2 starts have gotten to him bad. 10 hits in 3.2 innings against Detroit, 5 earned runs against Philadelphia, and 1 2/3. So he's been in negatives each of the last 2 starts. Just to give you some context here, though, he was a 12K pitcher against Miami. He was a $9,500 pitcher that opening start against Cincinnati. Even those last 2 starts, 9,100 and 11,1. He's probably more talented than this $8,100 price tag is on him. And if you're just believing that those were outlier starts, you probably fire him up, even against a pretty decent Washington lineup. But there is some risk to be had with that lineup, which we'll talk about. But I don't mind him in tournaments and hoping that, he gets it back, because he's definitely a more talented pitcher than that salary says. And you could say the same for maybe John Lester here, but I'm worried about this game in Chicago. I think it's going to be a run fest, and I don't want to deal with starting pitchers in that one. Most of the other pitchers here, I can't get behind. Maybe Dan Straley versus Philadelphia, but man, Rhys Hoskins feels like a pretty good chance of taking him deep again for the 4th time in his 8 at-bats that he's faced him. We'll see. But Straley, first start of the year, he's not as bad as I think people might think. But I was getting a little bit leery first time out of the gate whether you want to go there. So for me, Rodriguez, Samardzija, maybe sprinkling some Faria and some Taillon. That's what I'm looking at today. And moving on to the bats. And we'll start at the catcher position. And if you're playing on DraftKings today, I think catcher's pretty darn easy. I think that Wilson Contreras is going to have heavy ownership on DraftKings Fantasy Draft. He's 3,800 on DK, 32 on FanDuel, 7,200 on Fantasy Draft. And he's, you know, getting Kyle Freeland at home with the wind blowing out, and he's under 4K. So, you know, there's definitely something to be said for, do you want to, you know, maybe fade the chalk at this position in tournaments? Depending, we'll see what that ownership number comes in at. But I expect him to be heavy, heavy chalk here today. And Wilson Contreras at 3,800 makes a lot of sense tonight. Maybe your pivot could simply be going to Buster Posey. He's 100 cheaper. Does get a lefty in Eric Lauer. And I was looking at his numbers over the last couple of years. He's pretty legit versus lefties. I know that's kind of a narrative that we throw out there, but it's real. And I guess it's not a narrative then, but the numbers line up, and this isn't just short sample size. So I like him even this season, 373 weighted OBA in the 37 at-bats he's had against left-handers, 189 ISO. So absolutely fine kind of going there. You know, Gary the GOAT has been goating lately. He's really expensive tonight, but on a night like tonight, you can certainly pay down a little bit for starting pitching and make a guy like him work if you want to pay up. Hard to say where you're looking on the punts. I think it's going to depend on, you know, who's in the lineup order. Russell Martin, I believe, has some excellent BVP against Lance Lynn, of all people. Let me bring that up here real quick. He's batting fifth, and it is 7-for-18 in his career with a home run. Not too bad. 489 weighted OBA, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. So it's not amazing, but at under 3K, you could probably do worse than him today. All right, let's move on over to first base. We're going to be a little bit more, I think, competitive in terms of ownership-wise where people are going to go. And I think Ryan Braun today is kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, if you're playing on FanDuel, he's, I believe, outfield there. On DraftKings, he is first base eligible. He's 3,300 on FanDuel. Really good price there. 82 fantasy draft, 45 on DraftKings. Big fan of this matchup for him against lefty Brandon Finnegan, who is just not very good. He continues to really hit lefties well this year. 396 in the weighted OBA, 348 on that isolated power. It's pretty, you know, small sample size, but so far this season, he has been absolutely excellent. So definitely a guy that I'm, you know, giving some consideration here tonight as well. Now, Logan Morrison, I actually think Minnesota today is sneaky on a stack. And against Mr. Aaron Sanchez here today. And I don't love Logan Morrison, but it's hard not to put him into said stack if I decide to go there tonight. I think when we get to second and third, there's going to be other players that I'm going to make a case for pretty strongly. So I like them. Cody Bellinger got, what did he get, benched the other day because he didn't run out a triple in like the eighth inning? Way to go. Way to go, Dave Roberts. Way to Dave Roberts. Another guy who has had an immense amount of success here against Zach Greinke, and I don't think we should ignore it. It's, 6-for-15, 3 home runs for him so far in his, you know, short career. That's pretty darn good. Just to give you some context here, some other guys. Corey Seager, 6-for-15, 2 home runs, 7 walks against Zach Greinke. So some pretty decent numbers, at least for the big bats. There for the Dodgers against Zach Greinke. So Bellinger could be in play if you want to play the old BVP card. Good ballpark for him to hit in out there in Arizona. But again, going against one of the better pitchers, do we really want to go there? A guy who is not one of the better pitchers, Jason Hamill. So we could look to Hanley Ramirez today. I think he is a fine consideration. CJ Cron, we prefer him versus lefties, but Ryan or Jordan Zimmerman is just awful. Like, his plate IQ is like all red everywhere, and that's not a good thing. That's not something that you should strive for. And so CJ Cron definitely is one of the more power bats that we have in that lineup. I probably am not going there. He's not that cheap for me at $3,900, so more than likely going to be a pass there. We've got Anthony Rizzo. Yeah, he hasn't been great this season at all. Definitely has, you know, more power than we've seen. Only one home run, 157. He's, you know, battling a little bit of an injury. It is lefty on lefty. That's not maybe ideal. But I think Kyle Freeland's not going to last all that long. So I think he might get plenty of at-bats versus righties anyway in this game. And he just feels too cheap if the wind's blowing out there in Wrigley at $3,600. So lefty on lefty, not something with him that I love to embrace, but definitely could be a spot where it could work out in his favor maybe later on in that game. If we're looking for some value at this position, again, I don't think we need to dig too deep on value today just based on the makeup of the pitchers here. But another guy that I don't hate today is Pittsburgh against Tanner Rourke. Now, Rourke isn't a guy who gets blown up all that much, but he does throw, let's see, he's got 36 of his 36% of his pitches come on that fastball sinker. That's pretty high. Josh Bell, he's not great. He's not the best that we have on that one. The guy to consider there for, I think, for Pittsburgh could be Corey Dickerson today with a 339 WOBA, 269 ISO, a 40% hard contact rate versus that fastball sinker, which Rourke likes to throw an absolute ton. So I think Dickerson's due for some positive regression with some of the power numbers, and this could be a spot where it potentially rears itself. So Pittsburgh, sneaky stack, probably not playing the guy like Josh Bell too much as a one-off. All right, let's move on to second base today, and Jose Altuve is starting to get hot, so if you can fit him into your lineup today, I totally get it. Makes a ton of sense, and I'll definitely have some shares. Good history as well against Sonny Gray, so a lot of stuff lining up for Jose Altuve, and it's not a position that I'm in love with in a lot of places. I mean, Adam Frazier leading off, another guy, another one of these Pittsburgh bats who are pretty cheap today that I don't hate. We talked about Merrifield, probably not playing him against Rodriguez because I'll have so much Rodriguez, but the guy to talk about here is Brian Dozier today. He and Miguel Sano, I am really excited about playing here today. Again, going against Aaron Sanchez and, you know, the pitch that Sanchez throws, he basically throws, you know, three pitches, but he throws the fastball sinker at 41%. So that is a huge number for him. And Dozier has raked, 389 WOBA, a 256 ISO, 42% hard contact rate, 86% contact rate in general against that pitch. I love him today at this position. And I think Miguel Sano at third base, I love both these guys. I think there's a chance they both hit home runs today. Sano versus this pitch, 492 on that weighted OBA. The average exit velocity at 94 miles per hour. So incredible hard contact at 45%. One of these two are going to hit a home run, I think, against Aaron Sanchez today. This team total is one of the highest ones we have on the slate at right around 5 today, 4.9. So those two guys in particular really kind of popping for me today. And I think Dozier at second base, excellent option for you tonight. If there's any other value for us at this position, maybe a Hernan Perez if he bats in that 5-hole versus Finnegan. It's a pretty good spot for him at 3K. You know, DJ LeMahieu potentially leading off. That's fine. Out there in Wrigley. But I think Dozier, Altuve, again, this is like why I love spending up today, because I'm not loving the cheaper options we have kind of in this middle infield where some days they do pop, but I'm not seeing it today. Again, at third base, if you're playing FanDuel, or more importantly, if you're playing Fantasy Draft, which you should today, you could play Chris Bryant, you could play Nolan Arenado, you can play Miguel Sano, like play all these guys. They are all excellent options for us. I think Sano is going to have the lowest ownership of the three, and I think that makes him most intriguing for tournaments. But all three of those big-name bats today, I'm looking at getting into my lineup, and I think that's it. Like, those are the three guys I think if I was building lineups, I'm putting in my lineup builder, and kind of moving on, because I think of those three, two of them are going to have really good games here. Now, over at shortstop, we talked about the Corey Seager numbers versus Zach Greinke. Again, do you want to take him at over 4K versus one of the better pitchers? Maybe not, but here's a few things to consider, too. Trey Turner, if he gets on today against Jameson Taillon, I think we can chalk up a stolen base. Taillon, slow to the plate. We've got Cervelli behind the plate, who's terrible. And if you look at our stolen base threat ratings, he comes in at number two, only behind Cameron Maben, who I think alone against Jake Arrieta, kind of an intriguing option there at just 2,900 if you need value. But Trey Turner at 4,400, again, threat rating of 82. When it gets over 80, you're in a pretty good spot. Speed rating is enormous, and we've seen Washington super aggressive on the base path. So the top guys in our threat ratings today, Maben, Turner, VR, and Lorenzo Cain are our top four here today for that. But definitely Trey Turner at shortstop. I think a lot of upside when you get fast guys, especially against Taillon, who hasn't had good stuff. Now, obviously, that can change. It's just been two starts. But if that continues, watch out. Like, they're going to be aggressive on the base paths. There's literally no doubt in my mind around that. Trevor Story against John Lester. We know his numbers versus lefties. They've continued again with wind blowing out potentially to left field. You're looking at 424 WOBA, 317 ISO, and $4,200 price tag on him on FanDuel. Over on DraftKings, that was FanDuel 39, Fantasy Draft 8,400. That's probably it. I mean, Carlos Correa is always fine. Stacking up Houston, I pretty much do at least one stack every single night with them, and hopefully by the end of the year, you'll make some money on that. Normally you do, but honestly, Trevor Story, Trey Turner, Corey Seager, I know they're the best players, but that's why you're paying down at starting pitching tonight. All right, let's get to the outfield. And, you got Boston guys here, Benintendi, you've got Betts, you've got JD Martinez. They've got a team total like, 5.5 tonight? So those guys, absolutely fine, assuming Roth gives us the green light. Talked about Ryan Braun at first base. I'm fine with him in the outfield as well, certainly on FanDuel. Pretty good cheap price tag. Lorenzo Cain in that outfield as well against Finnegan. A lot of things in his favor tonight. Gave you the stolen base upside for Maben, so against Arrieta, nice price tag on him. And I also talked a little bit about Corey Dickerson against Tanner Roark. Don't mind that matchup for him tonight. Andrew McCutchen, looking at the handedness splits, gets Eric Lauer. Tough spot for Mr. Lauer here tonight going against McCutchen. $3,500, so still a reasonable salary on him. I know he's not the hitter he once was, and I think that's something we got to remember. But on a night like tonight, if you need somebody in that range, I think we could do worse. Those are the guys I'm looking at. I mean, Rhys Hoskins has incredible BVP tonight. Let me bring it up here real quick. Hoskins against... where is it? Sorry, boys and girls. Here we go. Rhys Hoskins against Dan Straley. Again, small sample size, so we can't get too crazy. But he's got 6 hits and 8 at-bats, and 3 of those have left the yard. So, done pretty well there. Nick Williams, 4-for-10 as well. Odubel Herrera, 4-for-12 with a home run. But Rhys Hoskins, obviously, in the handful of at-bats he's seen the ball really, really well, and he is in an excellent option pretty much every night, but tonight's going to be no different. Let's see. Other outfielders for us. Almora, if he's leading off for Chicago tonight, definitely like him. Ian Desmond at $3,500 over on DraftKings. Way too cheap of a price tag on him today, potentially, versus Mr. John Lester with the wind blowing out. So we'll keep our eye on that. And I think hopefully you're taking notes, because I think those are the guys that I'm looking to play tonight. Favorite stacks today, I think you got Chicago that you can look at from top to bottom. Again, I didn't talk too much about guys like Baez. He is absolutely fine today. But I like the Cubs. I think Minnesota is sneaky on the stack front today as well. I don't think anybody's going to have them, and I think that's a team you might want to get a few shares into your lineup today. I'll be stacking them up a couple times. But that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. That's baseball for us on Monday. I'll be back tomorrow. I think we have a better hoop schedule tomorrow. Let's see what we got here real quick in terms of the NBA playoff schedule. And let's see. Tuesday, we've got Cavs and Raptors. Looks like we've got flip-flopping between one and two-game slates most of this week. So back to the two-gamer tomorrow for Cavs, Raptors, 76ers, Celtics. I'll give you a few thoughts about that build. But good luck in your games tonight. Check us out over on SiriusXM back again tonight at 6 Eastern. So we'll give you an updated look. And Kevin Roth will join us as always for some weather. And if you're a premium sub, you can always catch him on Crunch Time right there before roster lock, the final 30 minutes, talking weather, giving you some plays from some of our top pros as well. So check that out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of what we do here at Roto Grinders. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, same time, same place. Till then, good luck in your game. See you, everybody.